Morning, good morning. Welcome to the New Vision for Light Church, where the love never ends. And we are continually growing in Proverbs 29:18, which tells us, where there is no vision, the people perish, but happy is he that keepeth the law. Once again, an honor to be with you this Sunday morning as a collective to just spend our time together to learn Jesus, more about God and us of ourselves. And just lift us the collective praise and say hallelujah for what he's done, for the awesome and great God he is. I thank God for the prayers that were lifted. And I thank God for the music selections that were brought forth this morning. All was just talking about how awesome the God that we serve
is. Yes.
What he did or what you think he is still doing, what he's still doing in your life, whatever he's done, he deserves your hallelujah praise.
Thank you, Jesus.
There is none like him. No name like his. No, nothing as strong as he is. There's nothing greater than the name of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Say thank you, thank you, thank you, precious and awesome Father. Hallelujah to your precious.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes, 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 yes. Glory to God.
This morning it is our Freedom Sunday. We'll dive into conversation to just build upon one another and our understanding as we lean upon God, as the scripture that Minister Demetra read this morning, Proverbs 3:1-12, and specifically verse 5, where it says, trust in the Lord thy God, trust in the Lord and not to that of your own understanding, acknowledge him in all thy ways and he will direct your path. I'm always humbled in that because I know that sometimes we are always moving in a carnal understanding. We're trying to make sense of the world, but if we would just trust God, fully trust him, fully lean upon God, be obedient to God, he can make the path straight. No matter what it seems like, no matter how hard it may be, he is making the path straight. And everything that he brings you to, he's going to get you through.
Mm-hmm.
So I just say glory to your precious
message. Yes, yes, yes.
This time I'm going to introduce our beloved. I don't see new faces on the line. So greeting to you, family. Greeting to those. If there is anyone new, you are family. You are welcome here today. As Minister Danielle said earlier, we are all family. We are all family and we all love one another and lean upon one another in this great day, in this awesome day. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce our beloved Apostle Etta Banks to bring forth the direction of our discussion this morning as it is Freedom Sunday. It's in your home, beloved.
God bless you, sweetheart. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. It is good to see all of you again. Praise be unto God. Such touching songs this morning, meaningful songs, and speaking about the greatness of God, the greatness of God. And no matter what it was that you went through throughout the week, if you didn't take time throughout the week to think about it, the songs today prompted you to think about how great he really is, how great he really is. I was late getting started for me getting online this morning because I did not feel well. I just didn't feel well. And that's all it was to it. So I was moving slower and forgetting things and so forth. But as I got on the line and as I listened to the song speaking about how great our God is and giving him praise, hallelujah, there was a different sense of urge, a spiritual urge that went through my body and I feel better. Praise be unto God. I feel better. And what it reminded me of is in our praise, while we're praising God during whatever that we are going through, you know, that he meets us there at that moment. He meets us there because he inhabits the praises of his people. He inhabits the praises of his people. So, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. So I am grateful. I am grateful. I am grateful. I am grateful. Thank God. And I do not take the chance to praise him. I do not take it for granted. I do not take it for granted. So I thank God for who he is. This morning is our Freedom Sunday, and we are holding discussion on what is the possibility that our disobedience is the reason for some of the things that's going on in our lives, and not just our personal life, but in the life of our city, state, country, in the body of Christ, period. You know, what part do we play in that? And we know that there are things that are predicted in the Bible that's going to happen. And no matter what, it's going to happen. And then there are things that are happening due to disobedience, that it didn't have to happen. But because we were out of line, and we, I'm speaking of the body of Christ, because we were out of line, things, we brought things upon us. That's why when we even pray and asking God, you know, to change things and move things and fix things and whatever the case may be, those things that we took part in, those things that came down on us because of generational curses, those things that, I don't know, the many different reasons why things could happen. Anyway, that's part of what we're going to be discussed. And listen, every time we hold discussion on this line, every time, it is to bring you to a place of understanding, because the word tells us to get understanding. The word tells us the truth shall make us free. And also in all of it, the word is to bring life and hope to us in every circumstance that, you know, that we're dealing with. It is to bring life and to bring hope. It is to see and know what it is, what is God's promises to us, and what's there. And according to our discipleship lesson, the promises that were made to Abraham were unconditional promises, a covenant that he made with Abraham. It was unconditional. He said that he was going to make him the father of nations. He said, you know, that the different things he told him that he promised. And he said, and that's going to go on for nations, generations upon generations upon generation. There was no, what's the word? There was no condition to it. However, when he made promises to Moses, it was a if. This is going to happen if you do thus and so. So with that, there are conditions. And we as a people, and when I, again, I'm speaking of the body of Christ, we as a people, we have the tendency to remember what it was God's, what did God say that he was going to do? But we forget, if he says, if you do such and such, we forget the part that we're supposed to do. But we're quick to remind him about what he said that he would do, you know? And if you ever think about it in relationship with your mates and, or your children, you know, it's quick for us to, well, you said that you were going to do such and such and such a thing. Yeah, I said I was going to do it if you did such and such a thing, but you didn't do it. So therefore, I'm not going to do it. So there are conditional covenants and there are unconditional covenants. We sent out the notice that this is what we were going to be discussing today. I pray that all of you, you know, are going to participate in any way, any fashion that you can. And so I will just simply start by throwing the question out here. And it was said before, and there was a remark that was made behind it last week, I think it was. And so just in that same fashion, I want us to talk. I don't want it to just be me, because I'm not, if it's that's the case, we can call this to an end right now. Okay, we can call it to an end if I'm going to be the only one that's going to share. But the idea, again, is what are the possibilities that our disobedience is the cause of some of our problems? So what do you think? What do you think? What is that possibility?
Good morning, beloved.
Good morning, beloved. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
I want to comment on that, but I want, you can't hear me?
I can hear you, but it's a strange sound coming from there.
Probably my fan. Let me see.
Thank you, Jesus.
Is that any better?
No, ma'am.
Okay, hold on one second.
Okay, while she's getting that, anybody else have a comment that they'd like to make or give me your thought?
Yes, ma'am. So I went to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Verses 1 through 14 talk about the blessings for obedience, and 15 through I think 68 is the curses for obedience.
Right.
And then some of the things is when it comes to the curses, I can see that are going on in the world today. Mm-hmm. And then verse 32 convicted me, because it says your sons and daughters will be given to another nation and you will wear out your eyes watching for them day after day, powerless to lift a hand.
Wait a minute, honey. Wait one second. I'm sorry. That was Deuteronomy 28, you said?
Deuteronomy 28.
And what verse are you at now?
32.
What, 32?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
So when I read it, I was kind of like, wow, like, could some of the things that my son go through, could they be a result of my disobedience? And I'm not saying that everything that our kids go through is a result of what we did or didn't do, but could it possibly be a contributor to it? Mm-hmm. Because you know, when they get older, it's like they make their own decisions and they go their own way. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking about the times when I heard God tell me that he couldn't hang around certain people, or he couldn't go to this place or that place. And I didn't do anything about it per se. Like, I let him be around certain people. I let him go certain places. And so when I read that part, I got convicted, because I'm like, oh, you know, okay. I remember the times when God spoke and said certain things, but I decided to let him do what it was that he wanted to be around those friends. And, you know, as a parent, it's like, we should know the people that our children hang around. Mm-hmm. And then it's times when we see certain people and we're like, you know, I don't really care for those group or that particular person. Uh-huh. And sometimes you don't know why, but it's just like, it's a feeling that you get when certain people come around, and it's like, it's something about that person. And it was like, at one point I did tell him about a certain person, but it was almost like, to him, it's like, Mom, you always think something. I'm all right, Mom. And so instead of me like putting my foot down and like, listen, this is what I'm saying, this is what I want, it was almost like I kind of gave in, you know, compromise or whatever. So sometimes when we compromise when it comes to the things of our children, sometimes we compromise because it's like we want them to be happy, but it's sometimes God, he sees things and he knows things that we don't actually see or know. And it's him trying to help us protect our kids from certain elements. And even when our kids get mad at us about certain things, we have to kind of like not allow that to dictate what God already told us shouldn't be for our kids. So our kids being mad at us shouldn't be above what God said or what God told us to do or not to do. It's, we have to reverence what God said. If our children are upset with us, it's like, okay, I'm sorry, but I have to do what God told me to do. And in the end, it's more like a protective thing. It's like, and in that times too, when I let him go places and something happened, it was like, I knew God told me don't let him go. and I let him go, and then something happened. And it's like, God, I'm sorry, you know? And the whole time God was like, I tried to tell you, I tried to warn you, but you didn't want to listen. So I like the fact that Deuteronomy 28 gives us, you know, what happens when we are obedient and the things that happen when we are disobedient.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing that. Denise, you want to try again?
Okay. Yes.
Yes. Much better.
Okay, good. As you know, whenever we gather together, Danielle, you know, she asked us to give God some praise. And here is one of the things I want to read this scripture. It's in Luke chapter 19 and start at verse 38. These are people who were following Jesus. And wait a minute. Yeah. Okay, and the people who were following him, they were saying this, God bless the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory to earth. Then some of the Pharisees in the crowd spoke to Jesus. Teacher, they said, command your disciples to be quiet. And Jesus answered, I tell you that if they keep quiet, the stones themselves will start shouting.
Yes.
See, when God says, do something, it's going to be, if he says his son's name is going to be praised, it's going to be praised. And if we don't do it, if everyone on earth decided to be disobedient, the earth would respond to the commandment of God.
Wow.
Because it's his authority. It's him. And this is what we have to understand. So yeah, there are going to be times when we are told to do something, and we cannot think that if we don't do it, well, right, I can block the plan that God had. No, you can't. And I saw, and I said, yes, God, you'll have stones cry out if we don't praise you. And one of the ways we praise God is with our obedience. Obedience is a form of worship.
Yep.
It's a form of worship.
Yes. Amen. 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 Anybody want to comment on what she said and or what Tabika said? Well, y'all quiet this morning.
I just want to say I agree with what Auntie said, that being obedient, definitely, it's just a must. It's a lifesaver. Honestly, it's a lifesaver. No matter what it is, whether it's being told to praise God, whether it's being told to witness to God, whether it's being asked, like Minister Kyle was asked to go and do something. He don't know. Him being obedient could have saved Daniel's life. It could have saved somebody else's life. You know, his presence walking through the building when he went and saw Daniel. Like, you don't know what being obedient to God does. And that's why I've said a few times, like, when you give the praise, when I ask you all to give praise and shout hallelujah, and it should be, you know, to your best, you don't know what you're blocking. You don't know what you're permitting. You don't know. So it's better. They say obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And be like Nike and just do it. Just do it. I mean, just do it, and do it. Do it with a purpose. Do it. Be obedient with, I would say, be obedient, even if it didn't mean God did another thing for you.
Right.
For the mere fact that he sent his son to die is enough to be obedient. For whatever he, and I mean, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to myself as well. You know, being disciplined to get up and pray in the morning, being disciplined to read, you know, just being disciplined to do what God says for us to do. I agree with what, like I said, what Auntie said, and honestly, what Minister Tabika said when she said our obedience as far as the children go, you know, what sins and what trials and tribulations are they walking through because we were disobedient. And I was like you at once too, Minister Tabika. feel like letting my children go, more so my son, not my daughter, you know, going and being with the crowd and not, you know, coming home, you know, when they came home because they drove, you know, and I didn't drive, you know, so things that he probably could have been averted, you know, if he wasn't in certain places, you know, and we give in to things, but you sit back and wonder now, especially when you're more mature in Christ and rooted and grounded, if I would have done, what would the outcome have been? I thank God for grace and mercy. I thank God for allowing us to get it right another day. I thank him for that. So that's all I have to say.
Amen. 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 Go ahead, son.
So just listening to what Minister Tabika and Minister Danielle said, you know, when they were talking about the releasing and letting them go. But what if that was the right thing? What if that was God?
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, just to use for example, when the disciples tried to get Jesus to go another way, he said, no, I must go this way.
Mm-hmm.
So what if the releasing of them, what if that experience was necessary for them to get to where they had to be?
Okay, let me say something to that. I think part of the way that tells a difference sometimes, because it's not all the time, when Tabika said that, I think she said, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the Holy Spirit told her certain things in dealing with her son about, you know, going someplace or being with someone. And she compromised and didn't give it to him the way it should have been given to him or the way the Lord told her to give it to him. So in that circumstances, since she said the Holy Spirit told her, then God had different intentions there. And there are some things, you know, that, when we said we didn't release our kids or we didn't make them do what it is we said they should do, and what we're telling them to do would line up with the word of God, okay? It would line up with the word of God. And they went ahead and did what they wanted to do, and we didn't do anything to enforce them doing the right thing. And you said, what if that was the right thing? The scripture that I find in my mind to fit that situation is what we wanted the children to do that line up with the word is the right thing. When they stepped out of line and did what they wanted to do, then that to me is the case where I hear God saying, okay, so you went that way, but what I want, the glory still that I'm supposed to get, the results that I want to get, that's still going to come to pass. So I have to take what the enemy meant for bad, and I'm going to turn it around, and I'm going to make good come out of it. So like when Jesus said that he must need go that way, he must need go that way. He needed to go that way because he knew he had to go minister to that woman. Okay. A lot of the stuff when we are going that way, it wasn't because we had to minister, it's because we were being obedient. And then God in his grace and mercy said, let me make some good come out of this. So even your suffering is not in vain. Even your suffering. Does that make any sense? I mean, we're out here. We're just talking, y'all.
No. I missed when we keep saying that it was the Holy Spirit telling her to tell him not
yeah.
to do whatever. You know, I was just bringing up the fact, like you said, you know, he had to go that way because it was part of the, you know, necessary for him to take that path. You know, I'm just showing, you know, I'm coming from the other side that,
absolutely.
You know, we can sometimes think, you know, I guess it's kind of that thing where you have to kind of really examine how you're discerning. Are you discerning out of flesh or emotion, or is it real discernment out of the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
Because you know you could see somebody and you'd be like, oh, that's not the right friend for you, and da 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 da. But they may be up here like, but Ma, or Dad, you don't know so and so and so. But then you eventually have an encounter with them and you're like, oh man, this is where they're coming from. And you see kind of like an opportunity where you're able to minister to them, or you even see why your, you know, your child and that person connects in some way. Because in that very moment, your child could actually end up being a light for that person. Because I consider it to say, you know, like, you know, I have my own path, but I have a whole bunch of homeboys and friends that have gone, you know, completely different ways. And I literally remember, like, there was times where, like, I knew some of the stuff that they were doing, and I could say, like, yo, like, you don't have to go that way or whatever. And they'll say, like, nah, like, Kyle, you're not, you don't understand. But then they'll turn around and be like, I'll tell you one thing, you ain't going this way. So, you know, you kind of have, you kind of have those kind of friends. Or I've had friends where they say, like, man, I've seen you do it, so it kind of makes me feel like I can do it too.
Wait, say that last part again.
Like, there's been other times when I've had friends, like, say, you know, for instance, like something like, you know, going to college or, you know, whatever. They'll be like, you know, seeing you accomplish it, it encourages them, you know, like, that whole thing. But, you know, like you said, like, I'm in this way, she said the Holy Spirit told her not to. You know, I say, I was just looking at it from the standpoint like that, even in, you know, something, you know, just the other side of it.
That was like,
I think what we can learn from the other side of it is that God is also faithful to keep his word. Like if he said he will do something, and it can be a reprimand. And so then if we will see that God is faithful to reprimand his kids also, you know, that's one of the things we can learn, because God is good and he's patient and he's kind. And we know all the goodness of God that we see in the New Testament. Sometimes we think God will not deal with us because we are disobedient. And so, you know, we'll slide. And we think that, you know, see, I told you God wasn't going to do anything. I told you you wouldn't get in trouble. But down the road, trouble comes. And it doesn't have to be an instant. Sometimes it can be years.
Years.
Down the road. Yeah. And that thing came and whop. You got smacked and you're wondering why. And you don't understand why. And it's because of what you did. See, God is a patient God. And if it, the Bible says rebellion is bound in the heart of a child. So children, their tendency is when their parents tell them something, why? How come I can't? Why does Johnny's parents like, and my mother was good for saying, so if Johnny's mother lets him jump off the bridge, you're going to go and jump off the bridge too. Because see, that's how some parents are. My neighbor across the street, I spoke with her the other day because we live on a small block and cars fly up here because it, the cops can't get up here. Like, I mean, if cops come up here, it's because they're forced to come up this block. They don't want to. And it's only one block long. So what occurs on this street because of the way we're situated, you can't see it. So we've, as long, I've been here over 35 years and there's always been some kind of drug dealer on our street. And it made it convenient for them because cops could not see what they were doing. And, but we, it caused us to get a lot of traffic, people coming on this block that just didn't belong on this block. So the little neighbor boy, his grandmother told him, she said, look, I gotta go to the bathroom. You stay on this porch. He's 4 years old. And she went inside. My grandson was visiting me and he came outside on the porch and a little boy across the street saw him and decided to cross the street to come over and talk with my grandson. And I heard my grandson talking and I thought they were just talking porch to porch. When I came out, I saw that little boy was over here And I said to him, I said, go back and get on the porch. And he looked at me and I did not smile. I did not budge. And he knew I was serious. And he went back and he got on that porch. I said, now, let me tell you something. This street is dangerous and you can get hit by a car crossing this street. You cannot cross the street unless you are with a parent. When your grandmother tells you stay on the porch, stay on the porch. My daughter came and got me later. We went around the block. We're driving down the street. And my daughter said, Mom, something said, slow down. She's slowing down. My son-in-law was sitting in the back. Then all of a sudden, I looked to the side and we all screamed. A kid ran out and ran into the car.
Jeez.
Literally ran into the car. And it was in the back seat where he hit. My son-in-law is screaming. And she slams on the brake. We all jump out. We go run after this kid. And this kid bounces off of the car, runs back to the boy he was playing with. And there was a man there. And we're like, oh my God, is he hurt? The guy said, oh no, don't worry about it. No, no, no. He hit the car. Is he hurt? They took that kid and like, let's get in the house. And we have a lot of illegals up here. And that's probably what happened, why he didn't want to go. We wanted to take him to a hospital. We wanted to call. No, they didn't want any of that. But sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks. And it's just, and my son-in-law, he said, I just had this thought that someone got hit by a car. He had the thought, and my daughter said, I just said to myself, slow down because something doesn't feel right. The Holy Spirit is speaking, and God speaks to us at all times. And it's always better, if you're going to make an error, err on the side of caution. Because God wants to preserve us. He wants to keep us safe.
Yes.
Now, that little boy may have been hurt. We couldn't get a name out of him. We couldn't get anyone to come and see about him because he ran into the car and he was scared. But I'm telling you, this God's word cautions us about the disobedience. Mm-hmm. So later that night, I told my neighbor, I said, your son crossed the street. And I told him, go back on that porch and do not cross the street without permission. And she said to me, thank you. You know, I'm so glad you did that. He's not like my daughter. My daughter was real obedient. He's not. He's hyper. But I don't want to spank him. And I thought, you had better take your child and check, because one day, the way cars speed up the block, it can mean the difference between your son's life being saved because he listened and obeyed.
Amen. Amen. And you know, that was interesting about the woman saying she didn't want to spank him. And so I don't spank him because I don't want to spank him. I don't want him upset and so forth and so on. But he's running in the street, so she'd rather take a chance on him getting hit by a car than to spank his behind and letting him be upset with her. The other thing was, the moment you started telling that, I wanted to spank her for leaving a four-year-old child out on that porch and telling him, don't go off the
exactly.
porch.
Exactly.
You know, she exactly. needed her behind spanked.
Yes.
That was crazy. That was crazy. You don't leave it, and especially because, I mean, I know what your street looks like, and you just don't leave kids out there unattended.
So. Right. Absolutely. Okay. Here is one of the scriptures that the Lord had given me, because this topic, it is, my husband and I have been talking. I mean, these things come up, even for the scripture Mimi gave this morning. that was the scripture I was actually going to start out with. Because if you take the time to read that scripture, there's blessings and there's warnings in there. There's warnings in that scripture. It's a very good scripture. But here's one that I think is real good. Because what we don't understand is when we disobey God, it does not just affect us. It affects people around us. It affects our family members. And so it's important that we are obedient to the Lord. God had a plan for Israel. He promised them, you know, he was going to take them into the promised land, and he was going to chase out their the inhabitants, the enemies and all that. And so when Joshua took over, they were supposed to go into, I forget what land this is, the Amalekites or something, the Canaanites were here, let's see. But it was in Ai. And so Joshua, you know, he was going to send the army of the Lord in there. And the heads of the army, they came back and they said, look, it's small in there. We don't need all those people. Only send about 3,000 because we're more than they are. And so let's see. So the 3,000 went. And those few people chased them out and killed 36 soldiers. And they came back and they were like, whoa, it would have been better for us to stay where we were than to come over here and try and take the land, because we tried and we failed. And Joshua, he went before the Lord. That thing bothered him. He could not understand, you know, why did this happen? And in Joshua chapter 7, starting at verse 12, it says, this is why the Israelites cannot stand, let me see, against their enemies. They retreat from them because they themselves have not been condemned to destruction. I will not stay with you any longer unless you destroy the things you were ordered not to take. Mm. So what happened was there was a previous battle and God said, don't take the spoil, destroy right. everything. And they disobeyed in the large battle. They disobeyed. So then when it came to the small battle, it was like a couple hundred defeated a couple thousand. And it was because they had disobeyed in the former battle. So now God's telling them, you got to purify yourself. You got to get the ones out. And so down in verse, let me see, 13, let me go to King James. Verse 12. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies. Okay, wait, let's go. 13. Up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing, a cursed thing in the midst of thee. O Israel, thou cannot stand before thine enemies until you take away their cursed thing from among you. So if the enemy attacks us, we're wondering, well, how come I'm not able to stand up under attack? And attacks come in so many different forms. And we can be quoting scripture and it's not helping and we're running. Why? Why? Because of disobedience, because we had something. So early in the morning, therefore you tribes be brought according to you shall be brought according to tribe, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall be according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by household, and then the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man, and it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, and he and all that he has, because he has transgressed against the covenant of the Lord and because he has wrought folly in Israel. Now, that thing, when it said him and all that he has, you think of material possessions. When you go down in verse 20, Achan, he says, indeed, I sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus I have done. All right. And he took the silver and he took shekels of gold and all. And this is what happened to this man. And when I read this, and Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burnt them with fire. And they had stoned them with stones. Now, this is who they stoned. Him, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his asses, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had. When we sin against God, it does not just affect us. His children did not go out in that previous battle, but they were affected by his sin. And so our sin of disobedience, it does not just affect us, but it affects our family members as well. And we have to take that into consideration. And he did this because he wanted the wealth. And most people in this day and age, this is the reason why we disobey God, because the enemy dangles wealth and fame and fortune, all that stuff in front of us. And we look over at the man who's sinning, who doesn't give tithes, who doesn't go to church, who only calls on the name of the Lord when he's cursing it. And we see him prosper and we want that prosperity. And we get it through disobedience. And it comes back to haunt us because our families are affected by it.
Okay. All righty. Thank you so very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? And this will be the last one. Go ahead, Shaobel.
Beloved, thank you. What you were sharing earlier when you first got on, and I was thinking on it and just listening to everybody sharing. And so I got 2 points. It was one, but I got 2 points.
All right.
So the first one is when you first started, you talked about how oftentimes the things that happen in our lives are not always because of disobedience. Mm-hmm. And I think what happened with Joseph, you brought up the scripture, and I'm going to read it. It's Genesis chapter 50, and it's verse 20. And mm-hmm. it says, you intended to harm me, mm-hmm. but God intended it for good to accomplish mm-hmm. what is now being done, the saving of many lives.
Mm-hmm.
There's another version that says what the enemy meant for evil, God intended it. God meant it for good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when things happen, we think that it's, sometimes we think it's because of disobedience. It's something we did wrong. And it's not necessarily always because of that. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's because God is moving you towards something. He's mm-hmm. intending something. He has a purpose. He has a plan. Mm-hmm. And it's my cousin. The second point is God, not God, my cousin. I was talking to my cousin, and he feels that he's called to do something in the family. And he felt the unction. He heard something, and it felt something in his spirit to do a certain thing, but he wasn't sure. And my question, I guess it's not really, it might be a question somewhere in there,
mm-hmm.
but the thought is, you know, you have when Minister Tabika was talking and she heard the Holy Spirit, she didn't do. But what about the people that are growing in Christ, that are learning to hear mm-hmm. God's voice, and God told them to do something, but they don't know it's God.
Mm-hmm.
They never even heard, they never processed that voice is the voice of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so then are they being disobedient? Is it a part of the process? Like, and what I share with him is now that you know, like you have to, how can I say this? You may not know the first time.
Mm-hmm.
You may not know. And so it's learning to hear the voice of God, learning to know the voice of God from your voice, from other people's voices, from all the things that are happening, and being able to take action on it. You know, it's like you hear, well, when you hear the voice of God, do something. And it's like, well, I ain't know. Like, I didn't know it was his until this happened, and then that happened, and that happened. Then he showed me this, and then he showed me that, and then that happened. So I connect that back to what was happening with what happened with Joseph, because he and his brothers, like the thing that happened with his brothers try to destroy his life.
Yeah.
And they tried to, in the end, they had to come ask for forgiveness and things like that. But it's just, I feel that there are a lot of nuances when it comes to hearing the voice of God, you know, acting in what he's told you to do, or there are dimensions to it. And when it comes to, you know, there are repercussions for disobedience. That, I mean, it's what it is. But then there's that question sometimes of like, is this a part of the process, or is this disobedience?
That's the same thing that Kyle was saying as far as being part of the process. Understand that even if it's part of the process, it would take your disobedience to do the process. It's just like when, what's the dude's name? What is his name? What's it? Judas. Okay, Judas did what he did. It was part of the process. Okay, no matter what, that was part of the process. He had to tell on Jesus. He had to point him out in order for Jesus to complete the trip that he had to do, that he had to make. Understand that whether it's part of the process or not, if we are being disobedient and it's part of the process, along with that process still will come the consequences of disobedience. Okay, the consequences are still going to come even if it's part of the process. Simple as this, and it goes back to the scripture you brought up, that I brought up, you know, about that God will take it, he'll turn it around and make good come out of it, and so forth and so on. Even when you don't know that was the voice of God speaking, even if you don't know that was the voice of God speaking, if what you were being told to do and you chose not to do it, you don't know it's God's voice, but you chose not to do it, it would still be considered disobedience. There would still be a consequence to it, but God is merciful. God is so merciful. He's full of grace, and he'll cause things to work out. And it's not just working out for God to get the glory. He said it'll work out for our good. It'll work out for our good. The one time I was going home, and I think I had shared this before, I was going home and I got to a light and the Holy Spirit told me to make a left, and I didn't want to make a left. I was trying to make the decision whether to go drop something off to somebody or go straight home. If I made the left, I would have been going to drop something off to that somebody instead of going straight and going home. I wanted to go home. I chose not to make that left. And I heard clearly, make this left. I didn't make the left. I went straight ahead. And as soon as I went straight ahead, sitting to my right were police officers in their car. They made the right on red, came right up behind me. And I ended up getting pulled over because they said, you know, my stuff on my tags had been tampered with. They had been changed and all this stuff. I got verbally abused. I was frightened. The man was going to take me to jail. All of this. Okay. All of this. A whole lot of stuff came out of that. And if I had obeyed and went to the left, not knowing that it was God. Now, I'm mature in Christ. I was mature. I'm not, you know, to my total maturation, but I was mature enough to have known that was the Holy Spirit telling me, but I paid it no mind. I don't want to go that way, you know, and it was a choice. I paid the price for that. I paid the price for it. I understand where you're coming from. What if you don't know? What if you don't know? God knows what we know and what we don't know. He knows. But just like, what is it? Ignorance of the law doesn't do what? What is it? What is
no excuse.
Ignorance of the law is no excuse. There are times we break the law of the land. We break the law of the land. And when we say to the judge, but I didn't know, it's no excuse. It's the law. You got to pay the price for it. And you didn't know. You didn't know you were breaking the law. And so if it, and I believe it's no different when it comes to the word of God. We may not know that we're breaking the law, but out of that, we will learn if we will learn that we've broken a law. We will learn the benefit of it. It would even put us in a place of being more grateful to God that we didn't suffer death behind us breaking the law that we broke. But yeah, there are going to be times, beloved, you know, you brought up some good points. I don't want any of you to think that, you know, any of that could be ignored. Yes, when you're in your learning process, and I'm going to go back to discipleship. When we're in a learning process, this is why it is so important. Those of us that are saved, those of us that are learning the word of God, that we teach it wherever we go, we share it so that people will know. You know, something about what you just said is one of the reasons why thousands of people will not serve God, because of the fact that they're saying, okay, we're getting the word from each other. And the thing is, well, what about all these people in these foreign countries where no missionary has gone, nobody has preached the word to them, and so forth. And they are held to the same law that we're held to. They're held to the same law. And what the word said, you just look at nature, and it tells you that there's something greater than you, okay? And so God is saying there's no excuse, whether a missionary came to you or not. He moves on the inside of us. Something is going on inside of us to let us know this, that, and the other, and we still choose to do what we're doing. So, but thank you for those very valid points. Did anyone want to say something on that? Because I want to bring this to an end. We got to do communion. But thank you for very valid points. Remember always that the hope in these discussions is that there is hope. There is hope. We're not coming to that place of, dag, man, you know, I didn't know, I did something wrong, and now I'm damned to hell. You know, no, there's hope.
There is also, too, with Joseph, and that is a perfect example. Joseph is a perfect example. Remember what the Lord told Abraham. He said, your people will be enslaved. Mm-hmm. The reason they were enslaved was because Joseph's brothers were evil. They sold him into slavery out of the evil intent of their heart. Joseph, when his father sent him to go and find his brothers, those same band of people who came along and bought him, they could have come earlier by themselves and kidnapped Joseph and took him into slavery. There were other ways Joseph could have gotten in slavery. But what God did is he proved the heart of his brothers, and he showed his brother's heart to be evil. And then God used that thing. He used that situation, because Joseph could have been enslaved a totally different way. But once he was there, he proved himself to be righteous. Even when Potiphar's wife lied against him, God allowed it. It showed her heart was evil. See, God only uses the people to do evil who have evil or rebellious intentions. God will never make you do something that goes against what is already in your heart unless it's turning your heart towards good. Their hearts were evil, and their children ended up in slavery. Why? Because they came to that land. Yes, they were saved because Joseph was now in charge. They were saved, but they multiplied like God said. And the people of the land got scared and said, look, we need to enslave them before they take over us. And so he used that situation, but it doesn't mean that the motive of their heart wasn't wrong with what they did. God, you know, he uses situations that go on, but the word says that he uses these things to prove what is in our heart. When you go back and you read in Genesis chapter 20, where he's giving out the commands, he said, I'm proving what's in your heart. And that's what everything we go through is to show what is in our heart. And there is hope. There is always hope. And Hebrews. And this is, I think, the one scripture that we really need to consider, because in Hebrews chapter 10, it talks about us not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together and all. But he says this in verse 10 and verse 26. For if we sin willingly, after that we have received the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no sacrifice for sins. So we can do something wrong and still understand, confess it, and God will forgive us. It's only when we choose to remain in sin that this thing follows us and it puts a curse on our children, our grandchildren, and so forth. So it's always God saying, I'm looking on your heart. I'm looking on your heart. We can do wrong. And that's why, you know, that woman who was caught in adultery, maybe she had kids she had to feed. Jesus didn't condemn her. He did not stone her. He could have. He didn't. But God always, he's looking on the heart. If our heart is right, even if we do something wrong, God will forgive us. And that is our hope, that we have forgiveness when we repent, when we find out we've done wrong and we repent.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Kyle. Come on.
I was telling Kid while he was talking, I was like, man, I can't find that scripture. But I was when Shelly was talking about the, you know, the not knowing. But the one underneath just said, that's the one I was looking for. I was telling Kid, something about when you come to the knowledge of something, it won't be no more sacrifice or excuse or something. Like, I just couldn't find it.
So when you said it, I was like,
that's it. I saw you going. That was the joint I was looking for, man. Yeah. See, that's you like together, right?
That's right. That's right. You know, that's the beauty. That's the beauty. You know, good questions, good points. All of you, good points were brought out. Mark, did you have something you wanted to say?
Yes, ma'am. And allude to what Kyle was saying. It wasn't the same scripture, and it's kind of mentioned. I had been looking in one of my studies, it had taken me through Leviticus, and I was looking at all the different types of sacrifice and what they called for. And one of them, forgive me, I think it's in chapter 7 or 8, I can't remember the verse how it's worded, but it's pretty close to what Kyle was mentioning. But it basically says that even if you don't know that it's a sin, when you come to the knowledge of it, that sacrifice, you're still due to come present that sacrifice for the sin offering or the guilt offering. You're still, you know, responsible for asking for forgiveness and doing that sacrifice. That sacrifice, you know, with the priest at the tabernacle was the response to a sinful act. So you're called to that, even if you weren't, basically, like you said, didn't have the knowledge that it was sin. We don't know. And like Shelly said, you know, what about the person who doesn't know the voice of God? Are they being disobedient? But when you come, when you do come into the knowledge of who God is, you're called to go back on your life. I mean, calls for introspection, to look back on ourselves and find out what we have done, what we did ask God. I think that was Sharon Parks who talked about in her book, things that we can go back, how we have to look back at our own lives and ask for forgiveness so that we can move on. But we have to look back and see the things that we've been through and the things that we've done that have been disobedient, even though we didn't do them purposely to be disobedient.
Right.
We didn't look like for you. I mean, you said you, even in maturity, you didn't recognize that that left turn was a direction. So yeah. You suffered a consequence. And of course, I'm sure you repented afterward, like, Lord God, forgive me. I wouldn't have been through any of that.
Yeah.
And I listened to you and made that turn. But yeah. So many of us in that same place, when you get to the next day and you're like, Lord God, now I know what you were talking about yesterday, but because we're leaning upon that of our own understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The path isn't made straight for us.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. One thing I want y'all to get out of this as I listen to our discussion is the sinning and not knowing it. But once we come to the knowledge of it, you know, that there is no sacrifice. Saints of God, we need to confess and we need to repent. If there's anything that you're doing in your life, anything, I don't care what it is,
okay.
If you're doing anything that comes against the word of God and you are aware of it, that it is sin, you need to stop. You need to confess it before God. Thank him for his grace and his mercy that we didn't die in that sin, and repent and go running full whole hog back to God. Amen. Don't let those moments slip by. And see, to me, even today, this is a moment, another moment of grace and mercy. Every time God lets us live to see the next day, it's another day that we have an opportunity to get things right between us and God. It's another day. It's another show of his grace and his mercy, that he was merciful, that he did not, you know, snatch us out of here in the midst of our sin. He Amen. Didn't do it. He gave us another day. And so to hold this discussion is to bring to light, bring to our minds, our hearts, is there something that we're doing? Is there something that we're doing that we were not aware of, but we are now, or we were aware of and wanted to continue to do it, but now we may think, nah, maybe I better let that go. You know, what could that be? What could it be? So walk away with the hope that today is the first day of the rest of your life. Today is a good day to ask God for forgiveness, repent, and hey, get it right with God. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you so much for the discussions, all you that contributed to it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If you will, please get your elements for the, what is it? Communion. Praise be unto God. And Elder Mark, I'm going to ask you to read, to pray. I'm going to ask you to pray over our communion, please, if you would. Thank you. And you can pray, you know, over, when you pray for the communion, pray over the bread and the cup, and then I'll do the scripture for it. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Is everyone prepared? Amen, amen. Father God, we honor you and bless you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the ultimate sacrifice, Lord God, your body and blood given up for us, Lord God, for the forgiveness of our sin, the very things of disobedience that we've done, Lord God, the times that we walked away when you called us, Lord God, the times that we didn't move when you said to move, Lord God, the times when we turned right when you commanded to turn left, Lord God. I just thank you, Lord God, for the precious blood of the Lamb, Lord God, that covers everything in our life, every aspect of our life, Lord God. The stripes on your back taken for our healing, Lord God, for our deliverance, Lord God, we say thank you. We honor and bless you, Lord God, as we take the time to come before you as humbly as we know how, Lord God, as a representation, Lord God, of your sacrifice, as we partake of the elements, Lord God, as we partake of the bread and the wine, Lord God, representing your broken body and your blood, Lord God, sacrificed and given for us, Lord God, that we wouldn't, Lord God, owe the debt of death for our very sins that we have committed. We thank you this day and every day as we lift a collective hallelujah to you, Lord God, the highest praise our earthly mouths could ever utter, Lord God, because if you did not one more thing, you did more than we ever deserved in your sacrifice. So we praise you, we honor you, and we bless you And we pray to the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Take your bread and just follow my command as I tell you what to do. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Take your bread and break it, representing the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take it. Now take and eat. And do this in the remembrance of Christ. Do that in the remembrance of Christ. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is given for us. And we're all eating together. Then in the same manner, he also took the cup after the supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." So the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through which we have the forgiveness of sin. Let's drink together. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Saints of God, as you remember what he's done, remember the sacrifice that was made on Calvary. Remember the stripes on his back that brings us healing and deliverance. Remember that because he rose again after dying for us, that also brings us protection. So he's made provision, healing, deliverance, and protection, and salvation. Those are at least five things that we know that took place for us at Calvary.
Yes.
Walk in it. Don't let any of it go by. Excuse me. Don't let any of it go by. Know that you have the right to all of this because you accepted him as your Lord and Savior. So remember, every time you take communion, and you don't wait to do it just once a month. You can do it daily. Take your communion.